I get over to Romans, you're going to have to know what I'm talking about. I know he's talking about a literal son in Isaac. But spiritually speaking, he's talking about salvation here, folks. You got to realize, to get saved, that you're too far down the road. And it ain't possible for you to get saved on your own.
That's right.
Huh? If God don't show up, Henry, you ain't getting saved. See, that's what I say. I'm not going to try to modernize that, folks. If God don't show up and convict and convince you through the Holy Spirit that you're lost and you all of a sudden have a desire. Remember, she said, I can't have any pleasure unless you have a desire for God. You ain't going to get saved. You can sign all the cards you want to. You can shake all the preacher's hands you want to. You can walk all the aisles you want to. You can kneel all you want to. You can make all the professions you want to. But bless God till you come to the place where you realize, I don't have a prayer unless God shows up and saves me. That's what he's talking about. And here's what he says. Is anything too hard for God? No. It wasn't too hard for God to save me that day at that red light, folks. It wasn't too hard. I'm glad to. 1982 February. I was dead, honey. Just as Sarah's womb was dead, just as Abraham's seed was dead. But God gave life out of it. I was dead at that red light. Dead in trespasses and sin. I had no hope whatsoever. But God showed up. Glory! God showed up. And when he shows up, if you'll listen to him, he'll save you. Isn't that good? It is to me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. What's he talking about there? That's exactly right. But what if he don't return and 9 months goes by? You say, well, she's already pregnant now. She can have that child. Well, that ain't what God said. God said, I'll come back, and at the time appointed, you're going to have a son. And you're going to call his name Isaac. And through Isaac, not through Abraham, through Isaac shall all the world be blessed. Why through Isaac and not through Abraham?
Because it was God.
Now, don't answer too quick till you think. Why through Isaac and not through Abraham? Didn't he already tell Abraham to look up and see the stars? And if you can count the stars, so shall you can count your seed and all that. So what's that talking about? That's talking about a nation, Israel. Israel. Oh, yeah, I knew somebody would get that. But it has to go past Israel, folks. Abraham is the father of Israel. Isaac is far different than that. Through Isaac, Israel can be saved. Not through Abraham. Through Isaac, a Gentile can be saved. Not through Abraham. That's why Isaac had to come. And that's why God had to wait until it was impossible, impossible, impossible for man to get any credit for what's going to happen here. God gets all the credit for Isaac. God gets all the credit for your salvation. If you're not giving God the credit for your salvation, bless God, you're not saved. Now, I won't back up from that. If God ain't getting the credit in your life, if you ain't giving God glory for what he's done for you, bless God, you don't know God. You can go around like all these other people and say they know God. You can go around and talk God things. And I hear a lot of that. I hear an athlete, bless God, they win a national championship or something, and the first thing they say, well, I want to thank God. Well, look, that don't mean anything to me. That don't mean a thing to me. You have to know God. And you can't know God except through His Son. Isaac is a type of God's Son. Now, if you will, turn to Romans. Romans chapter 9. Now, how did chapter 8 end? It ended like this. This is a few verses in chapter 8. So because you know 8 is before 9 and 9 follows 8, right? So it's there for a reason. I mean, you know, it's there for a reason. He says, who shall lay anything to the elect, to the charge of God's elect, right? And then he comes up there and he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says Christ first. And then he gives a litany of things. And he says, no, none of these things will separate me from the love of Christ. And then he comes down there and he gives another litany of things. Remember, we went over them. And he says, and I am persuaded that none of these shall separate us from the love of God. So what's he saying? Christ is God. And if you don't get that, bless God, you ain't going to get saved. I should, pardon my English. I get carried away and my English gets awful. So I'm from Irwin, just an old backwoods boy. I apologize. There's no kids in here. So, well, there's one back there, but he's smarter than I am, so he knows I'm stupid. But what is the reverse of that? Well, there's a qualifier. At the end of, look, I want you to look. At the end of chapter 8, he says, nothing, absolutely nothing shall separate us from the love of God, right? Now, the world would stop right there. The world would stop right there and say, well, see, God is love. We're all children of God. We're all going to heaven. When we die, we'll be looking down. No, there's a qualifier in there, folks. He ends with a qualifier. What's the qualifier? You're looking at it. Which is in Christ Jesus. There's a special word there, in. Not just if you know about him. You've got to be in him. To them that are in. So what's the reverse of that? Out. And if you're out, what does it say? No, what does it say? That you are separated from the... Look, I know God is love, folks. You say, Tom, are you making a point? I'll be making a point here in a minute. And you'll say, oh, I never thought of that. If you aren't in Christ, you are separated from the love of Christ and the love of God, my friend. I know God is love. And I know John 3:16 very well. Trust me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. I get that, folks. I'm with it, and I know it. But if you don't know Christ, you don't know it. You don't know anything about the love of God. Anybody remember what John 3:36 says? To them that believe, you don't have to turn, hey, I'm going to give it to you. To them that believeth hath everlasting life. Right? But they that believeth not shall not see life. You say, but God is life. You better believe it. You won't know it. You won't see it. He says that for a reason, Pam. He says, not only will you not have life, you won't even see what life's like. You say, well, I know what life's like. I'm alive. No, you're not. Folks, look, we're not alive. We're in a body that's not going to where life is. And unless your soul has been made right with God, neither is it. So he says, you will not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon you. They that believed are not condemned, but they that believe not are condemned already. I'm giving you some John, aren't I? One of my students, I won't say who, but we've been reading through John, haven't we, student? I won't look at her. Now you know it's a her. But in John chapter 1, it says this, but to them that believed, gave he power to become. Now wait, stop. Don't run by that word become. That word become in the Greek means this, to be brought into being. To be brought into being. Conception. You're not who you were. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're brought into a beginning. He says, to them that believe gave he power to become the sons of God. What? Even to them. And you see, boy, he puts that qualifier on there again, didn't he? Even. The word even means without a doubt. The same thing that Sarah in Hebrews says, Sarah in faith believed in God that she would bear a son. No doubt. You say she laughed. No doubt. Abraham, Romans says, staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what salvation is, folks. It's believing God. But believing what about God? Can you just believe in God? Huh? Oh, now John, we're starting to get somewhere, aren't we? You're going to see this in a minute now. Sarah didn't just believe that she was going to have a son. She believed in what God told her. She believed God's word that said she would have a son. That's what she believed. Without God's word, she could believe till she is blue in the face. He could believe till he is blue in the face. Bless God, they'd never had a child. Because it was impossible. That's why he says, is there anything impossible with God? Because he knew what they're saying. Well, this is impossible. This is not going to happen. But it did. It did. So then it comes down to chapter 9, and that's where we are. And John and Paul starts out by saying, I say the truth. No, don't go too fast now. You leave off words that are critical. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. What he's saying is, look, I'm going to bring God into this as a witness. What I'm going to tell you, what I'm about to tell you is the absolute truth. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience. Now he's got two things going on here. He's got the spirit and the flesh. And he's saying, listen, I've got the human emotion in this, and I've got the spiritual emotion in this. And Christ is bearing me witness to both. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have exceeding sorrow and grief. I'm grief-stricken. My heart is broken. Folks, I can't tell you. Maybe it's, I don't know. I act sort of foolish, I guess, last week on Facebook. I don't know, but it was, my heart was broken. My heart's broken for this country. I have a burden for this country. But it's not what Paul's talking about here. He says that I have great heaviness or great sorrow or great grief. And not only is it exceeding grief, it's constant. It's continual sorrow. And that word sorrow there means a sinking down. Anybody ever had said this to somebody? Man, I've got a sick feeling in my stomach. You know, something happens and it just gets you right in here and you just got a sick feeling. You just sort of want to throw up. It bothers you that much. That's what he's talking about. He says, this is the truth. I'm not lying. He says, this is an exceeding greatness, that heaviness that I have, and a continual sorrow in my heart. It's not just up here. It's in here. If we're not in here for lost people, what are we doing? Does it not break our heart to see a country like this and know that these people don't know Christ? You can't kneel on a man's neck like that if you know Christ. You're kneeling with him in prayer. You don't see skin color. It was his burden. He says, I have this in my heart. He says, to this point, he says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Oh, honey, you gotta think about that a second. How many of you know Christ? How many of you, he's precious to you? How many of us are willing to say, I'd give that up if I knew my family was in. If I knew my husband was in. If I knew my children were in. If I knew my wife was in. If I knew my friends, my foes. If I knew everybody was in safely in the ark, I would go to hell for them. That's what he's saying. That's his burden, folks. And it's constant, he says, that I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren. Now, he's not talking about, like we do, brothers and sisters in Christ here. He's talking about Israelites, Jews. His burden is for his fellow Jews. And he says, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who are Israelites? So in case you miss it, he tells you. Who are Israelites? And to whom, now I want you to listen to this. Listen to this very carefully. To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service to God, the ability to worship God, and the promises. All that pertains to them, but it was doing them no good. That's why he was burdened. Folks, it's the same thing with Gentiles. It's not any different. The this pertains to Gentiles. But if you don't believe it and receive it and accept it, it does you no good. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's wonderful. But bless God, if you don't believe it and receive it, it'll do you no good. That and a dollar at McDonald's and get you a cup of coffee. He says, look, they've got all these advantages. What was the last advantage they had? Promises. Just like the promise that was made to Sarah and to Abraham. Did God deliver on His promise? He's never failed to deliver on a promise, folks. I started this out by telling you, hey, the promises are both yea and they're both negative. There's promises in here to the unsaved. And bless God, you die unsaved, you'll find out He's as good to His promise to the unsaved as He is the saved. He's not going to change it. Now, file that under change. I'll give it to you in a second. And then he goes on and says this. Whose are the fathers? The Israelites now. Whose are the fathers? And of whom, concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. What's that next word? God blessed forever. What's he saying? I'm talking to you. What's he saying? Remember earlier, he said, separate from Christ, love of Christ, and then separate from the love of God. And we said, well, what's that saying? And you said, rightfully so, Christ is God, yeah. Right? Well, if he says, of whom as concerning the flesh, remember John chapter 1, verse 14, the flesh, or the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only glory. He says, He says, who is over all? Who's over all?
Jesus Christ.
Christ, right? God. So what's he saying? Christ is God. Bless God. Listen, if you don't understand that God Almighty left His glory and come down here and humiliated Himself and made Himself born of a woman, born in the flesh, that He might redeem those that were under the law, us, you'll never be saved. If you don't see Christ as God, that was the Jews' problem. It's their problem today. They don't believe Christ is the Messiah. That's their problem. If they die with that, folks, in hell, they'll lift up their eyes, being in torment, and so will a Gentile. That's God's promise to you. So he says, God blessed forever. And then it's almost as if he couldn't stand it. Now, we have a music person in here, and she can tell you what a crescendo is. And it's this whole time, boy, he's just been swelling and building, and all of a sudden, amen! God is blessed forever. And then he says this, and this is the key to it all, folks. This is the key to it all. He said, not as though the Word of God hath taken none effect. Now I'm going to give you what that means. Here's why I'm going to read it to you again. Not as though the Word of God hath been driven out of its course or become inefficient, meaning is not going to give the results that are desired. He says, not as though the Word of God hath been driven out of its course or become inefficient or hath been thrown away. It's the same word in Galatians where he says, he that is justified by the law, now who is that? Thank you. But he says, he that is justified by the law hath fallen from grace. In other words, if you think that you can keep the law to a jot and a tittle and be saved by it, and you could if you could, but you can't. He's already said that. He says, but if you think that, if you're believing that, if you think you're good enough morally, if you think you're a good enough person, if you, you know, and you read the obituaries, and I see them, you know, and I don't, look, I don't mean to, I'm not being mean now, don't take it that way, but, you know, it's like, it matters not to God how morally good you are. It matters not to God how morally bad you are. That's what matters to God. What'd you do with my son? Because if you've got my son, I won't have to worry about how morally good you are. You'll be morally good. Huh? Is God morally good? Yeah. You better believe it. You better believe it. So he says, look, the reason I'm burdened, he says, is because my brethren, my kinsmen in the flesh, they don't realize God's not changing courses. His word's not going to change courses. When he says, with my son you're saved, without my son you're lost, that's not going to change courses, folks. Listen, that's what I was talking about modernizing earth. You can try to make, you can try to get you a new translation, and you can try to make it fit the 2020 or whatever we're in. I don't even know anymore. Don't even know what day it is and I wake up anymore. I asked my wife, honey, what day is it? And she'll say, well, I'm not sure myself. It doesn't matter what year you're in. God's not getting off course, folks. The same gospel that her uncle started preaching, I don't know how many years ago, 50 or 60 maybe or more, is the same gospel. It's not changed. We've tried to change it. Don't you tell me we've not. We've tried to make it modern. We've tried to make it fit. Well, I hear them say it now. You young people listen up back there too, bless God. I've heard them say, well, now, Tom, you have to have something for the young people. I'm going to tell you what, if that book don't get them young people, bless God, they're going to hell. They don't mince words with your children. If they don't buy it, that's on them. That's not on you. But don't try to make this sound all modern and, well, no, we got to have it so they'll accept it. Well, listen, bless God, if they don't accept it, that's between them and God. And I can tell you right now, I don't care if it's a 20-year-old that stands before God. It'll be the same as a 70 or 80-year-old stands before God. It'll be judged on this right here. He says, and the books were opened, and the book was opened, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. I don't care what year you preach that. I don't care what year you teach that. It'll be good, bless God, after Tom Foster's gone 50 years from now in 2070. It'll be just as good then as it is now, but they'll be trying to modernize it and make it fit. You know what? They don't want it to fit. They want it to fit the way they want to live. They want to live like they want to live and let God endorse it. Well, Dwayne, I can tell you he's not. And if that seems narrow-minded, you'll just have to say, my teacher is too narrow-minded for me. I ain't going back. Because straight is the gate. Narrow is the way, and few there be that enter in. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. I'm not changing it. So he says, it's not going to get off course. And then he goes on to say this. He says, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they... Thank you. Children. But through Isaac... What does it say? Through Isaac. Not through Abraham. Just because you're a Jew won't get you anything. And just because your dad's a preacher won't get you anything either. Just because your mom and dad was saved, that won't save you. Just because your mom and dad saved, that won't save you. Just because your mom and dad saved, that won't save you. Just because your mom and dad saved, that won't save you either. He says, bless God, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. That won't get off course. And neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but through Isaac shall the seed be called. And then he says something. He says, that is, in my paraphrased version of that is, well, here's what I'm saying. They that are of the flesh. What's he talking about there? He's talking about Jews, fleshly Jews. He says, they that are of the flesh are not children of God. Let me tell you something. The Speaker of the House can stand up all she wants to. And I'm not bashing the Speaker of the House. I'd say it if the President said it. And if he says it, I'll let him have it too. I hadn't heard him say it, but he probably does and will. Well, we're all children of God.
No, we're not.
No, we're not all children of God, folks. We're all the creation of God. We're all people of God. You'll be a child of God the way God says you'll be a child. That's through His Son. That's through a new birth. He told Nicodemus over in chapter what, honey? Oh, I keep looking over there. What chapter was it where he talked to Nicodemus?
Three.
Yeah, I knew she'd get it. He says, Nicodemus, you might want to be born again.
No, you must.
Nicodemus, you ought to be born again. Nicodemus, it'd be better if you was born again. Nicodemus, you might live a certain way if you was born again.
You must.
You know, I know it's 2020, and I went to grammar school in Irwin, and well, I went to many. I went to Irwin. I went to Hampton. You know, I've been to North Carolina schools. I've been to Tennessee schools. I've been to a lot of schools. I've went to ETSU. I've went to Milligan. Bless God, I've been in all of them. I'm not a bit smarter than I was when I started in any of them. But I know what must means. Must means it's required. Well, who says that? Huh? Well, if God says it's required, guess what? It's required. That ain't not going to get off course either. That's not going to change. I don't care how modern you get. I don't care how much you try to bring it up to date. That will not change. But we want it to. Because... Thank you for, I meant the world. Certainly the children of God don't want it to. But he says, that is, what I'm saying is, they that are of the flesh are not children of God. But what does it say? Who are? The children of the... I started off with the promise, didn't I? Huh?
You did, yes. God promised Sarah and Abraham.
Well, but what did he say in the promise? He said, at this time, I shall...
Return her. return.
Thank you. I knew you'd get it. At the time of life, I'll return. Dwayne, you couldn't get saved unless he comes to you, son.
It's true.
That's his promise. He says, that's who are the children. The children of the promise. Why does he say it that way? Well, who is the promise? No, I know as I've helped you out there. Huh? Jesus Christ is the promise. He's the promised Messiah. He's the promised sacrifice. He's the promised Savior. He's the promised King. He's everything. He's the promise of God. And only in Christ will you ever be a child of God. That's God's word. And then he says, for this is the word, and this is where I'll stop. They've run me out of time. My pastor will get mad at me. I had more. I had so much more. I've been cooking for weeks. But this, he said, is the word of the promise. At this time shall I return, and Sarah shall have a child. Now, I told my brother, I don't know how that God did that, but he did. I don't know how he, all of a sudden, the seed of a 100-year-old man and the eggs of a 90-some-year-old woman were vital again. Is that the right word, vital? Well, Bible, thank you. See, I told you, she's a school teacher. She helps me. I don't know how God did that, but you know what, honey? He did. I don't know how he saved me that day at that red light. I really don't. All I know, I've never been the same.